All right, this is the big one. This is one of the biggest titles of the 80s for DC. And even though it's a little before the branding of the new DC, it's kind of big time, because this is 1980 when the book came out. This is big time new DC stuff here, right? And this one has it all. Right, this is their big cosmic, almost their, it's not really like a Kree Skull War, but this is, I can't think of a story that had a sibling thing right now, but it should come to me, right? So all this stuff, we have the first issue of this new storyline where the Titans are in bad shape, right? I mean, this is Commander, Coriander, and there's the Titans falling out into space, right? So, I think Marvel kind of took it as a Marvel book that's done it at DC. Ooh, sorry. Because it felt like to some, well, to many, that it was like they were doing their new X-Men, but it kind of had, you know, a title that didn't necessarily work, and then they added some new characters and there was some buzz around them, and some of them didn't necessarily look like them, but you know, kind of the person who kind of like the Storm of the book, the Cyborg is like the Colossus, and then you couldn't really put Raven in the thing because Raven could be in the Storm category, but and then he had Changeling, who's definitely not Wolverine, but a character who can turn into animals, right? So we have this nice shot here that Perez is going away from the cheesecake shot, and you just see the legs that are fully covered. And Gordanians, so like we have Coral Commander with these Gordanians, these villains that she treats like cannon fodder, right? So they're getting ready to go to Earth, and we get this nice shot where they're able to go to Earth and they're not seen at all. And this is Coriander's sister, Starfire's sister, Blackfire. And obviously, you know, that means that she's bad, but it's a cool shot right here to start. Now this, even though Perez's art is always dense, I think this one is gonna be one successful Perez video. And he's co-plotting, Lin Wen is the editor. Romeo Tanglo is doing the inks, right? And at this point, the Titans are in bad shape, and they want to be sent. They're going to go to court because they've done something wrong. I can't tell you what it is, but if we get to more Titans and you guys are there for it, we'll find out why they had to go to court. So they have a little X-Men type of stuff here where they're kind of like persona non grata, even though they got Robin in it and they got the troops out, and Coriander is really not really cool with them pulling guns out, because even though she kind of has a hillbilly earhead quality, she's also a warrior, right? So public is really not cool on the Titans. So this is going to play up heroes kind of being using lethal force and whatnot. So then they're going to go and they're going to talk with the DA. The DA is Adrian Chase, right? And Adrian Chase is kind of their buddy, but he's on the edge. He's like, you guys are kind of on the edge. And he can't really cover from the best way like he's been trying to, right? But he's trying to ask them to kind of stay on the straight and narrow, don't get in any trouble. And that kind of doesn't work out. Here's Adrian Chase. You didn't notice it already, right? But he's been helping out the team for a long time. He's kind of their Harvey Dent. So he kind of goes through a Harvey Dent thing himself, right? So these Gordanians, they have this ability to kind of do something to Coriander, to Starfire. Something, the sound kind of makes her just go out and just start destroying things. And she's totally out of control of her power, right? And they can't stop it. She says she can't control it. So we got this cool shot. So it's really good, you know, good comic books, right? We have this sort of press stuff, you're interacting with the regular folk, and then we got your cosmic sort of action right happening here, right? And then the people looking up and their fear of her, right? And then at the same time, she gets captured by these aliens and scooped away, right? And these aliens are kind of ready for them, right? So they take out Wonder Girl. Changeling comes in to help. Kid Flash saves Wonder Girl, right? There's the Titans. We got Cyborg doing his thing. We see we got Raven. She comes out there. And you hear, I was about to say Nightwing. You see Robin going out there leading from the ground. And they don't want him to kill him because they want to... They want to get some information out of them, but at the same time, he also had a plan to kill himself. So he killed himself even better than being caught, right? But instead of losing everything entirely, they get the spaceship, right? So they have an idea, right? So then, and Perez like to bring in like some of the old characters, like Speedy and Aqualad, right? So we get Aqualad in there, and I was like, it should have more Aqualad in here. He's cool, right? They're trying to get him to help, but he's saying he needs water regularly, so he decides he's not going to space, but Aquaman goes in space all the time, but... Anyway, right? The Titans go out, and of course they get figured out immediately. But we got Coriander here, and Commander's just really hurting her, telling her how much better she is, and punishing her and treating her bad. And we get our first, I don't know if this is the first one, but this is our big space battle. And the Titans get pulled in by a tractor beam, right? And they catch her in there. They sense something evil and they get attacked immediately. And then they start to make short work of the Titans, right? Take apart Cyborg. And then we see, you know, who's over, you know, very emotional. She sees her friend get tossed out to their death. And it was just some way to just really torture her, right? And then they decide they're going to shoot off into space, right? They do some star sliding, and we actually see that Raven is able to keep them alive, and they get saved by Superman. And he's like, well, Superman's here. He can handle it all by himself, right? And he's like, nope, I'm half the Superman I was, right? So they have no way of saving Coriander, right? But they still feel they're going to get you back. They're not giving up, right? So here's the big one. We have those guys. We have the Omega Men who have appeared in Superman. I think they'll appear in... this is a big push because the team books for Marvel were doing so well. DC decided to do their own ones. And they were finding a home out in space. So they're doing these space dramas, right? So we have the Titans and the Omega Men. So Superman is like, he has an idea, right? Takes him along and we meet the Omega Men. All right, and this is another great Perez shot. Right, so we get to see all of them, right? We got Nimbus over there and Callista. You know, what's it? Nimbus, Callista, Primus. We got Harpus, we got Brute, and Tibor. And then there's someone else that's somewhere around here, right? They want to go home, but Superman is like, hey, can you help these guys out? Right? And they're kind of with it, but they're iffy on it. But Primus is kind of... very helpful, so he says yes, right? And after all this time, Coriander's been kind of been pushed to her limits, and she finally breaks free. And we see that Blackfyre is pretty crafty, right? And she takes down Coriander, who's been through so much, right? And we get to their home planet, right? And the Scions, right? And on this home planet, this is where Blackfyre is planning on taking over everything. You're gonna start to see this happen as a story because she gets crazier and crazier as they go along, right? And Demonia, they need the Titan to help them with the ship. The ship has some struggles. And you have this other person on here, Demonia, this like snake woman. She's kind of on the edge where she could turn on them, right? So that's going to play out later. And we've rounded one of their official heavy duty guys, Lord Demian, right? He's here. And these guys, these villainous aliens, we get to see. It's going to be more important later to the story, right? So we get to see this insert of Arian. That's what I talked about before. He's one of the new DC. We got the new format for Camelot 3000. All right. And He-Man is in there. Night Force, a couple titles I hadn't talked about. Legion, of course. We're on the move in 82. So this is another tagline, right? So right here, we run into these other aliens and the leader, and they have Coriander there captured, right, with all their plans. And their plan is to capture Exile. And Exile is the person people that worship, but they have a leg in the game. They figured a way that they could capture her, right? And they said Exile is gonna be on this assignment is kind of a traitor also, right? So they get there and they get to Auron, who's kind of like the time traveler within the, if you know the, who's those guys? The Micronauts. He feels like another, what's it, Primus. But they have a character, but this character is connected to Exile, right? And we find out that Exile is also, even though they worship her, is a character that to be feared. All right. And they're planning on capturing her. And this what brings the Omega Men more to the fight because a lot of them worship her, right? So, who is it? Changeling has an idea. He's going to change it to one of those aliens and sneak in while Wonder Girl fights with the Omega Man, right? And immediately, as they go in, they get caught out there, right? So we get to the penultimate chapter. And then we have Wonder Girl fighting with the Omega Men. I think Perez did this type of battle doing these wide shots before Burn. I think I showed Burn doing it, and here's Perez doing it a little while earlier, which is a cool sort of way to get a lot of action going. Kid Flash with Brute, Nimbus, and that. Is there any other character? All right. This is mostly the Omega Man pages with Quicksilver slipped in there, right? We get a roll call up top. It's always good when you have a lot of characters to have a roll call because it cuts down the time. And I think Marvel and DC, especially in the Legion on DC, when you kind of get lost in the amount of characters that are going to be in the story, it's always good to kind of have a roll call so you can kind of figure out who they are. And people say that's a kind of a cheat, but yeah, how else are you going to figure this out, right? So Changeling, of course, is talkative. We can't show you how great Marv kind of does for his kind of talkativeness, which kind of leads him to get into more trouble. But Cyborg decides to take matters in his own hands, and they get to stop him, right? And the war goes on in this thing, and at the same time, people are dying. But at the same time, Raven is trying to help people and save them from dying, which is kind of nutty. And it leads her weak enough where, was it Trigon almost breaks out and becomes her. And they kind of feel the evil coming out of her. And she's able to fight it. And Quicksilver's there to help. Kid Flash. I think I said Quicksilver before. Definitely Kid Flash, right? And the XL, she commands them to stop, but she realizes there's something that's happened that she's kind of trapped in, that she has to follow through with what's going on here, right? It's kind of a nutty thing, but she has to follow through. Robin is planning a sneak attack with his three Titans. And it winds up into two. They have to kill these other guys. And then we have a little for the new GC He-Man. We are not going through this, even though it's, I think it's Ross Andrew drawing. Is it? No, it's Kurt's. Ross Andrew, I think, did this. This is this here. Right, that looks more like him. But inside is Kurt Swan. So Kurt Swan is doing Dave Hunt, who's from way back in the days. Not doing it, I'm sorry, y'all. The Superman's in there. But I wasn't a fan of He-Man. Can't make me do it. Please don't make me do it. So, they continue to torture Coriander. Like, it's been like three issues of torture. And now, we had Demonia. She's like, I'm gonna help out the villains, right? She immediately turns. At the same time, Robin and his short team are making their way to find out where Corey is, but at the same time, Wonder Girl is trying to get the Mega Man to stay with their promise and help out that. And you see, there's some nutty pack that gets this extra powerful goddess, XL, in command of, Lord Demon, right? Or Damon, right? They're using her for blackmail purposes, right? So they got her under wraps, right? They're going to crush all the rebels with that. And at the same time, Robin has always been keeping cool. He sees, and they really talked that he wasn't that interested, that he just thought of Corey as a friend, and he sees her hurt, and he loses it, right? And at the same time, there's a standoff where he's saying they're going to release Exhale if you don't stop on the galaxy. And then Cyborg is like, I'm going to kill Damon, right? And then we see Curry start to wake up. They have a moment, even though there's not time for it. And you see, Blackfire doesn't even care. She's like, I don't care at all. She takes out Lord Damon and she's like, oop, your threats meant nothing. And here, DC's on the move. I just showed you these guys, the new Supergirl. I just did that. We got Blackhawk coming. I think only have one issue of Claremont 3000. But I need to see what that's about. And then, of course, maybe Orion. Maybe. But the art looked good, right? So right now, Blackfire. Blackfire feels, now she's ruling, right? She got Exile, she's under control. And then Corey, like, she won't let it happen, not unless she has to kill her, right? So we go right into the annual. Wow, I've done this quicker than I expected. So I don't know how this is coming out, but. All right, so here we go. This is the one, right? And this is I guess the Fantastic Four, they did it when they finally figured out the wedding. They did the wedding issue after many, I don't know, it was like 5 or 6 years of engagement bliss. They finally got married. I think issue 5 had the baby, but they didn't hint the baby. Issue from the issue 5, annual 5 of Fantastic Four to annual 6, they had the baby subplot. So that was the first kind of going from annuals to regular series. And DC was starting to do regular series to annuals as the finale, right? I think the Titans did it like at least, I know they did 3 of them. They could have done more, right? So Corey's had it. She's been able to get her strength back, and she leads the charge. Robin does something the way he talks about killing, but I don't really factor that in. This is time of war, which Robin kind of says. So if you worry about Robin or any of them killing, what else can they do? It's war, right? So Damona is over here. She's kind of being like, wait, I kind of sided with the wrong people. Maybe no one knows. Maybe I can get around it, right? And then they're doing everything they can to stop these guys. And Simon is trying to, this guy here, he's trying to get them to follow orders. But now Blackfire hasn't realized that she put everything in disarray. And now Corey is going on full adrenaline. So she's pretty dangerous. And Blackfire tries to trick her. But Starfire is going full out. But we have Blackfire is not giving up, right? So Robin and his team are going up, but they start to lose. The numbers are overcoming them, right? We look like we lost Changeling. And then we finally lose, what was it? We lose Cyborg, right? So team looking pretty bad. This guy Simon's trying to get them to leave, but we find out that Blackfire has screwed up everything, right? So they stop this fight and they say, hey, you're not getting the, you forfeited your claim. So now you're going to have to fight with Coriander for survival, right? And to get your position back. So at the same time, we finally get the Omega Men coming back into the battle. Because they need him bad, right? And we get the history of Exile. I'm not going through this, but she was a great warrior. And at the same time, when she died, the Simon guys, they altered her. They started doing tests on her, and that let her become this cosmic deity, which she was, not only her myth was a big deal, now she was actually a character of myth and of that same power, right? And at the same time, she also was the force of death at the same time. So same thing, like, say, the way God could be in the Bible, which could kill a lot of people for whatever reason it is. They're kind of playing up that sort of thing, right? So the Omega Men is on their way to help. They finally make it. You see the planet with the little Avatar islands around it, right? So they're going into battle. Now we know with the Titans, she's been training for like a long time. So she's already a warrior, but she's honed her skill, right? And they have this great fight scene, and we see Curry starting to get the best of her, right? And this is one of my favorite scenes, right? So Curry, the commander, kind of gets the a better for 2 seconds, but she has a way out of it, right? She uses her strength to go through the tree, tosses her sister over, and catches her, knocks her through a tree, right? And she slowly start winning and beating the hell out of her. And what's the name is not supposed to do is use her powers. And when she uses her powers, and one thing Blackfire and they were able to was to fly. So we see Corey adapting to Commander's villainy. And it's a really cool action. But at the same time, we see the end of the war. The Titans run to what's left of the Titans is still going out there. Our three that are running around. We see Chains running to Damona. They kind of work together. So no one knows that she turned on them. And we see Robin and Chains and captured. But we see Damona finally working on the side of the Angels. And someone saying, "Why do you have to kill them?" Kill them says, "Yes, I did, Earthling, I did." Right? And we see Quicksilver fighting. They're doing the aerial fight. Robin's back into the fight, even though he's one arm left, and so is Cyborg, right? We go back to the fight, and we see that Corey doesn't care, right? She's just letting loose, flying her around in hopes that her sister drops so they may go in the water. So this way, she's saying, if we go into, if we fight in this water, this is not the best thing. We can't use her power. So they're fighting in the water, and she uses her powers. Right? And the star bolts causes this really chain reaction in the water, right? We see Blackfire go down just her leg, right? But at the same time, we see they're happy, right? So till we win. Coranda's alive, so they're gonna survive. They survive Blackfire, but at the same thing, we know that Corey's been through so much, and she uses her power in the water, and that causes even bigger destruction, killing these guys, these villainous things. And we see, similar to the cover, the other heroes coming in. One of the girls there to help, and then Aura talks to Exhale, and I can't go through the cosmic stuff, but she does something cosmic to clear all the stuff up, right? She's their goddess, and we see some of the villains, they escape, right? So we see Raven do her thing, and they help out. They heal Corey. She's back. But she's sad that her family's dead. I'm like, "Nope, your family's here." He said, "What about my parents?" And since the parents are not here, and the parents are still alive. And then they feel Blackfire's dead, but it's a sad ending, right? Because she wants to go back with her family, and that means we lose her to the comic book. And he's like, "Nope, if you remain with us, our planet's gonna be destroyed. They're gonna attack again." So we get this little bit of truce. So at the same time, not going full, what's that thing? What thing called? Like a comic book thing? They have this treaty, even though they won, they have this treaty. So it was the Tamarins. If she comes back home, they're gonna attack Tamarin again, right? So Corey's back, and this builds a bigger connection between Robin and Corey, where she was interested in him. He kind of pushed her away. She fell in with someone else, and she got tired of hearing Robin speak. And then they're starting to move back together, right? You'll see him get a little more hard edge during this later period. And this is great shots, poster shots of the classic members. Right, so there we go. I did it quickly. I hope you guys got it. It's a lot. It's not as dense as some of the other comic books that Perez that I've done. But I thought this would be a fun one to start to kind of do a new DC thing. And there you go. The Titans is one of the top books out there. You can't really, it's hard to beat this sort of run. It's up there with the Claremont X-Men, Fantastic Four, Ditko, Stan Lee and Ditko, Spider-Man, Stan Lee and Ditko, and Romita, Spider-Man. Any kind of run you have, this kind of run, I think you go 1 to 50 and 1 to 6 for the Baxter edition. Some of the best comics you can have out there, right? I would go further into the Baxter issues because I like the ones where Raven came back and I liked when Perez came back in issue 50. But yeah, it was a great title. Only thing was, I think the hard part of it is that the parents had to leave. So Perez, it was a tough book at times, but they needed they did the right thing, right? Perez was on the book for, he was on the book till the, I guess, 85. He was kind of on the book. So it's like a 5 to 6 year period. And I'm going to get into a video to explain the success in comic books, right? A success in comic books, meaning that you do a title, and the title is a success. is pretty much from the inception to the later times the same comic. You can't. One of the hard parts is in doing comic book series, is making these sweeping changes. And as you do the sweeping changes, if you get big success, you need to maintain that for at least 3 years. And maybe the older comic books were different, but if you have something that stays consistent, consistency, that's the word I was looking for, sorry. If you have a consistent 3-year run on something that was success, you will have a book that will last far past its original creators. You see that happen with Byrne on X-Men, that X-Men was about to be canceled. He was on the book for 3 years. Artist who initially was on it came back, and the book did better, right? You see Kirby left. Fantastic Four has been going on for a long time. It didn't lose its top sales until some point after Byrne left, right? But there was a drastic change that happened after Byrne left, which led it to falter, right? The Legion book was consistently something people were asking for a title. And it was consistently, even though the art wasn't always the same, it still had the feel of the book and the dynamic that, Giffen gave the book with Paul Levitt. That kind of consistency for the longest time held up. And you can see it shift when the book went to... the 5 years later. So there's a dynamic that I want to talk about at some point, kind of dealing with how these shifts and how I would think had Byrne been able to do a full 3 years on Superman, post him, they wouldn't have to go too far as killing him and to try to keep sales up, because they did a lot of things like branding and that sort of thing. But this is a testament of a time when you could do a book for 3 years and it lead to a book that lasted well into the 90s. So that's one of the things that I like to use, since it went pretty quickly. It was so action-packed. There's a lot of story that I couldn't get into all the details. But this is the book. This is one of those books from the 80s. Spinnerack out.